Hey, y'all. We are back again this week with another season one re-airing because we are still taking some time off. This time, we're talking about episode 10, Relationships. This one has us a bit shook because this is a full circle moment. Like, don't you think, Lori?
Oh, absolutely.
Re-listening to it and thinking about, like, where we were back then to now and hearing how some of those situations have come up again has been, I mean, your text at midnight last night, I was like, whoa, this is going to be crazy. I had no idea until listening this afternoon and was like, what?
Yeah, I was so inspired. Like, you saw that big ass text that I sent you. I had snippets. It was so many gems.
Yeah. Yeah. This is such a good episode. It was our 10th episode. We had no idea that we would be at 10 episodes.
Right.
I mean, it was also an episode that made a lot of things bubble to the surface for me.
Right. Okay.
I can hear, I haven't seen the video yet, but I can hear in my voice a lot of pain and a lot of loneliness. And I even hear a little bit of anger, especially when I was talking about people working from home. Like it still makes me mad sometimes thinking about it. I'm glad I'm on the other side of it. I'm glad Drew's on the other side of it. But at the time, I was like, this is ridiculous.
You know, it seems like we had to speak that into existence. Because while you said you're on the other side of it now, we had to go through it first. We had to speak about it first so that we can have, like, I guess we call it a testimony now. Because some of the things that I even talked about, I actually went through it. That's what was so eye-opening. Yeah.
It was crazy to hear. We had never talked about my wedding. We were just beginning to talk about yours. And so to hear both of us be like, okay, people aren't going to show up. And you've been like, it'll be fine. It's fine. I'm okay with that. And it was like, no, it didn't
turn
out.
But when it happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you said something that was interesting. You mentioned that I was okay with the friends not showing up because of the time that has gone by and feeling like, am I responsible for inviting these guys, even though we don't have things in common anymore? Mm-hmm. And am I doing it on the strength of we used to be friends?
Right.
But what got me is that family can be that way, too.
Yeah, but we were not paying attention to that. We were. I think I was so ensnared in a friendship situation that was happening that I just kept saying friends, friends, friends. And I wasn't necessarily saying, oh, family, too. But that, I mean, it just so many things bubbled up in that moment. And so many things I'm like, oh, OK, now I have different tools. And now I said all day today, I'm like, this is why I have to listen to the old episodes. This is why, because I said that at the beginning. This was documenting. So that way, and when the hard times come, I know what to do. Or I can at least go back and check, what did I do? What did I learn? What was the lesson? So, yeah.
We're really helping ourselves. really are. So that's awesome. What came to me or came for me is that family can be like friends, like you lose things in common, you outgrow each other. You can outgrow family and that is okay. And I'm finding even in some of my sessions now, learning to let go of family members, letting go, like grieving that loss and keeping it pushing and not feeling like you owe them anything, they owe you anything, and recognizing that just because you would do something doesn't mean that the family member would. And I think that's the biggest thing. Expecting somebody to do something that you would do. And then when they don't, you're mad.
Or hurt.
Whatever.
Like I said, I could feel I was sad. I was upset. And it was manifesting and coming out as just like pure anger of like, why is this happening? Instead of me realizing like, no one owed you anything.
Yeah. And this is the reality. Like this is the reality that's playing out. something that I think Robin was talking about as far as last, I think, what was the last episode about being alone. Yeah. As we grow, as we wake up, because I think a lot of us are asleep, but as we wake up, we realize that some people are not going to go this road with us. Like, they've gone this far in the journey, and that's as far as they're going to go. And we bid them adieu instead of being hurt because they're not going to continue with us. Maybe we say thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, man, it's been real, you know, because I promise you, I was just talking to my fiance about, you know, oh, I would do this for them. And wow, they wouldn't do this for me. And it's like, it's okay. Yeah. It's just okay.
Everything is okay. It has to be okay. And if it's not okay, that's okay too.
Yeah. And learning to be at peace. I think that's the biggest thing. Seeing people for who they are, like really paying attention, noticing how people show up, you know, like, man, if somebody would have done this, you know, like I'm gonna use my sister, for example. Mm-hmm. If I would have done this to her, she would have lost her dang on mine. You know? But we're not the same people. And I think that's the reality that keeps coming to me. Mm-hmm. We're not the same people.
No, we just aren't. And I think in all of that, and I think in talking to Robin, understanding that it is okay to be alone and that alone isn't the solitary thing.
No. Alone doesn't mean lonely.
No, no. So I am appreciating myself a lot more. Mm-hmm. I am finding my own company differently now. And awesome. I'm not grieving and mourning the same way I was before.
Nice.
I was so sad and so upset and so like, so many things were coming true that had been said to me when I was younger. And so many things were like, I don't know how this is going to work, that I'm like, okay, I'm all right now. It's fine. It's okay. You know, so I've jumped a hurdle that I didn't think I would be able to, but hearing myself then and seeing myself now, I'm like, okay, we've made it. This was a bonus anyway. So we're here.
Yes, that's huge. I'm finding that I'm different and that's okay. Yeah. Like there are many of us who are different and we have to notice our tribe. Instead of expecting these other people to show up for us, understand that we show up for ourselves and that there are others who do show up for us. Yeah. And those are people who align with our core values. And I think the reality is there are people even in our family that do not share our core values. Yep. And that, like you said, is okay.
Yep. And understanding too, our partners, our husbands are two very incredible people. And I'm super grateful that they have been here on this journey too. And I cannot wait for y'all to hear this episode. Also, like, share, subscribe, do something with this episode and any other episode of What's Been Better. We appreciate you. We thank you. And I hope you enjoy the episode.
Right.
This is episode 10 of What's Been Better. This week, we're talking about relationships and how we define types of relationships, i.e. friendships. There are so many perspectives on relationships that often change after time, location, or situation. A heads up to the moms, mother-in-laws, and anyone else with sensitive ears. We cuss a little, so excuse me, baby. All right. We made it to episode 10.
We got 10. That's how. You know, we just moving right along. Who knows?
We are.
I'm excited, though.
I am, too. For anybody who doesn't know, if you're new here, I'm Sylvia.
And I am Lori. And this is What's Been Better.
I mean, seriously. I mean, thank you to anybody who has been rocking with us since the beginning. Thank you to our families, like, the people that we call friends, even though we're going to discuss what that word really means today. But thank you to those people, because
this has been a ride that I just love. I love this. Every week I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
It's almost Friday.
Right. What are we going to talk about?
Right.
Yeah, so, well, I'm going to ask you, Sylvia, what has been better? What's been better?
You know, I never really think about that until you ask me. I'm like, oh shit, I gotta like answer that. But I have been thinking about it for like the last couple of days. Like, Lori's gonna ask me this. What am I gonna say? What am I gonna say? And I think what has been better is a sense of calm and a sense of peace and a sense of like, fuck it, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what has washed over me this week. It's been one of those weeks where you feel all the different emotions,
mm-hmm.
but I have not let any of them get the best of me at all.
Okay.
Which is very, very, anybody listening, if you take it back to episode one, that's very different for me.
So how are you able to do that?
Practice.
Okay.
Practice does not make perfect. It's starting to now make room for improvement.
Yes. And you know, so my philosophy is practice makes better. Hence what's been better, right?
I'll take it.
Every single time we're practicing something, we get better and better at it.
Yeah.
We constantly are getting better every day.
I feel it. I think I felt it before, but I've been noticing what I'm noticing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've been feeling like, okay, this is what better is starting to actually look like. This is what better actually does.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, what's been better for you?
Well, I'm getting better. I'm thinking better. I'm receiving. I'm allowing. I'm able to keep my boundaries the way they need to be. It's beautiful. I'm getting rest. I'm getting over my cold or whatever the hell that was. I don't know what it was, but it just snatched me up and slapped me all around the place. But I'm a lot better. The coughing has ceased.
That's good.
So I'm good. And I am practicing living the life that I want to live, which is intentional, right? And so, and as I'm doing that, I'm receiving more information about what I already know, but adding to that. So it's beautiful.
That's what's up. I love that. I love that. Like this show isn't just me growing. Like it's actually both of us, even though like you're the professional and I'm seeking like your guidance, you are also like on your own journey. And I appreciate that more, that you're also like open about it.
Right. Right. I'm glad that you're saying that too, because I want to share that I think we're all on the same playing field, right? Mm-hmm. We all have different knowings, right? So for instance, it just came to me the other day, like for instance, I might be providing coaching or counseling for someone who is a financial advisor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I might need their help in financial advising because I'm not as good maybe with finances as I am as a coach, because I practice coaching every day. I'm always thinking about that. So of course I would have more of that know-how than someone else who's practicing that, right?
Right.
And you have your own practice and things that you do, and you do that very well. I might need your assistance in that. And so that's where, to me, the community comes together. Everybody is assisting each other in the thing that they do well, right?
Right.
Which means that if I'm not practicing doing my thing, I'm not going to be able to provide the thing for you or someone else, right, and vice versa. So,
and I think we're all learning that everybody contributes some kind of way.
Yeah.
Or that's what they should be doing. Like,
it would be beautiful if they were doing it.
It would be really helpful if everybody was contributing in some kind of way, but I think that's part of why I wanted to do this episode. Also, I know we're talking about relationships, and the relationship could be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But the focus for me has been through this journey has been like my relationships with people that I call friend.
Mm-hmm.
And shedding that word or that title has been a part of that, I don't know, awakening for me. I don't know. I posed this question at the end of the last episode, but I've been thinking about and having more conversations with people that I have intentional conversations with. Do we really have friends, or is everyone just an acquaintance? Especially as adults, like, that title seems so, it's easily erased when you're an adult.
How?
I feel like because you are thrown into situations, you are friends with people out of trauma, out of time, out of location, to me. You live next door to somebody. You just see them every day. Something happens. You laugh about it. Oh, you keep talking. Or you're in a job, for instance, like when I was in Abu Dhabi, that was a pretty traumatic situation that happened to multiple people who none of us were from there. So we all bonded off of that trauma.
Right.
Then you have people who you've known them since middle school, high school. Now you're 40. You've been friends, so quote unquote, this whole time. But you don't really talk to each other. You don't see each other. The pandemic happens. You don't really make an effort to interact with those people. Are you still friends? Who are you to these people?
Right.
I guess I look at those things as like their fuel.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do when that fuel runs out? You are healed from the trauma that you were trauma bonding with. Are you still friends with those people?
I hear you.
You don't live next door to that person anymore.
Right.
They don't call anymore. You don't see each other anymore. Are you friends still? Because the fuel is gone.
Right.
So to me, it's like, I don't know if I necessarily want friends anymore. Like, I want a team. I want people who are like on my side. I am on their side. I want to help. You want to help in whatever the way is. It doesn't have to necessarily be something physical. It could be emotional.
Right.
But we're fulfilling whatever we are for each other, and we had that understanding. Like, we have this interaction, and we've discussed this interaction.
Right.
But I just don't know if I care about, like, quote unquote, friends anymore, because it doesn't seem real or realistic.
Okay. So I wonder if the word friend is a placeholder for a thing.
Ooh, wait, say more.
It's just came into my thinking as you were saying that, right? Because if they were friends then, like, so for instance, my sister has a friend that she had since second grade. My sister is like 58. And they, like, she's at her house now because she hadn't closed on her home. So the friend opened her door, right? So she and her husband are there until they move to their home, which is probably next week. But that's a continual friendship.
Right. So that's their fuel is time, right?
Right. And so the placeholder, I'm thinking, like, you put that because it means something. It's a value in it, right? So then if you're speaking from a friend perspective, these are somebody live next door, but you don't live next door to them anymore. Or you may be friends from college and it's been 10 years, maybe not talk to them, right? So then that placeholder, the value of it shifts.
Right.
Because the interaction has ceased. So I'm just like, maybe we put a placeholder because of how we define it.
Oh, okay. So then there's my other question. I was like, how are we defining this? And I feel like I said this before, like, there's no term of agreements. Like, there's no fine print at the bottom that you sign on a contract that's like, I'm your friend now. Because you don't discuss that.
Right. But what does it even mean? I think that's where we start. What does a friend mean? And I think it's that definition is different for everybody. Right. So.
And I think for me, it's almost like I have like an adverse reaction to it. Like when somebody's like friends now, I'm like, oh, no. Uh-uh.
So then let's find out, because what is that? What happens? What is the adverse reaction to when you hear someone say friends?
You know, to me, a little bit, like friends have, like, they're fulfilling this role. Like there's this thing that friends are supposed to do, like whatever those things are.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have like different levels of that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so then you got like labels on it. You got like a best friend, you got mm-hmm. your day ones, you got these people who they are supposed to like really be there for you. They're supposed to really check in on you, or you're supposed to do the same thing, or you're supposed to have these interactions with them. I feel like there's almost like a level of like obligation that goes along with those titles, that when they are not fulfilled, somebody's going to get hurt.
Well, see, that's why I share with you about the supposed to's and the shoulds. Because when we place those type of expectations, yes, we would get hurt if that day one is not hitting you up, right? Because right now I'm planning my wedding, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about the friends that I've had and the weddings that I've been to, and I'm thinking, am I supposed to invite them because they invited me to theirs? Mm-hmm. But this person was a friend of mine back then, and do I invite her because we were friends back then? But I hadn't really been interacting with her in the last at least 2 years, at least. I haven't physically laid my eyes on her except on Facebook shit since 2016.
You're going to dig up some trauma.
What, you get what I'm saying?
Weddings so bring up some terrible shit. Like,
right. Ooh. Exactly. And so when you mentioned, we were talking about friendship, I was like, ooh, that's where that friendship thing comes in mm-hmm. at certain big events like this, because yeah. then you find out who your quote unquote real friends are.
Right. Yeah.
Based on what you're saying about the obligations that friendships require, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a friend, then automatically you would be this person, and that's how we, I guess, a lot of people define friends. And let me just ask you, for instance, how do you define a friend? What's your definition of a friend?
Someone, first of all, that's going to have like my best interest at heart. And someone who is going to do basic shit. Like I said, like, are you checking in on me? Am I checking in on you? And it doesn't have to be no 2-hour conversation once a week. It could just be like, yo, you good? In a text would be mm-hmm. nice.
Mm-hmm.
Not no like whack shit about like, you give me a few likes on Instagram and I give you a few likes on Instagram. Like that's nah.
Right.
I'm talking actual, like, we've been to each other's house. We had dinner with each other. We know each other's spouses. We know each other's birthday. Like, you know, stuff like that. I know about your family background. You have like an actual connection to these people that is long lasting, that doesn't fade easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I get, you know, like you said, like distance, time, people change, people move, people have different situations happen to them and they kind of like go away from each other. It's a matter of like, can you come back to each other and have an understanding of like, when you come back, this is what we're doing now.
Mm-hmm. And as you're saying that, it, and again, everybody has a different definition, right?
Right. But don't you think it could have been saved? Like there's like a lack of communication when it comes to friendships that I think like we get fucked up about when we don't have these conversations, or we get messed up about because we don't discuss like, well, what's your definition? Oh, mm-hmm. I don't think I can meet that definition. I can't meet that. But at least like you would be clear about like what we're doing. Cause think about it. When you want to marry someone,
mm-hmm.
you have in-depth conversations with that person. You live with that person. You need to know how they fold their socks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to know what you have in common and what you don't have in common, because you are going to be around this person, or this person is going to know things about you or go to things with you. And you need to know how they're going to handle that.
Right.
You don't want to be like my husband and I cannot stand eggs. I cannot imagine being married to someone who got up every morning and made eggs. It would wear me out.
I love that shit. That is beautiful.
But it's like basic shit like that. Like, the two of us don't drink coffee. Coffee literally makes me sick. The smell of it, the beans even. I cannot imagine being married to someone who was like a caffeine addict, who just like had to have their coffee every morning.
Let me tell you, you wouldn't. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So then guess what? A friend, as I define it, right? Because again, we all have a different one. A friend is someone who treats me like I treat them.
I'll give you that.
And so based on who I am today, I've learned to love myself. So then I can't have a friend who doesn't love themselves or himself, right? I can have an acquaintance. Like, I won't be chilling with them on a regular if they don't look, because what happens is it's going to be a lot of self-deprecating, and then that would shift my energy, and then I would repel them anyway, or they would repel me. You see what I'm saying? So, so that would be the thing, right? So I think friends mirror who you are. And so that's why I think now some of the friends that you have shifted, and they no longer are in that category anymore, because they don't have the same value system that you have.
I felt that way a long time too, like with family, the same.
Oh, it's absolutely the same. Yeah. And so what happens is it gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And so you don't have as many friends that you even consider to call friends, because you're different. And the more different you become, it gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah. I think it's Nipsey Hussle. He said the circle got smaller and everybody couldn't go.
Yeah.
That's it.
That is the truth. And instead of, and again, so I'm gonna go back to my perspective on it. Instead of me feeling a way, like people say that, you know, I feel a way about it, cracks me up. I'm like, what way is that? Instead of me feeling hurt or sad or irritated, angry about the fact that my friend group got smaller, I'm thankful, because now I see myself more clearly in the people that I interact with.
Yeah. What I can appreciate in this space and time that I'm in is the conversations that I'm having, is the interactions that I'm having. I mean, as we know, like I said before, like, living and dying by communication, but this type of communication it's just so different. And I feel so much better after having the conversation. They make me think.
Okay.
And sometimes I don't necessarily like to think this hard or this deep or, you know, whatever, but it's like, I'm getting better from having these conversations with these people. Even the conversations with my mom are a little bit different now. And I feel like they're even better. Like I said before, like, the conversation with my sister is better. Like, it's just better.
And it's going to keep getting that way. As you grow, people are coming with you because they love you. And that's the other thing. So then we look at friendship from a love perspective too. Like, it's bonds that we have with people. So maybe it shifts from, say, a friendship perspective, and it's more like bondships.
I like that. I like that. Yeah. I think also because, like, even I have like a little bit of a adverse reaction to people who are just like, oh, I love you, like real passive about it. That is scary to me, because it's like, that's not something that you could just distribute real easily. That comes with like weight behind it. So it should take a lot for you to pick that up and go, okay, here, I'm gonna give you a little bit of it.
Right. you, again, as you shift, that will shift too, because you won't be around people who just flippantly say things.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be more of an intentionality.
Yeah.
Right. It's, so, yeah.
I think it'll also become less one-sided. Like, I felt like that a long time too, about like, excuse me, you put in, you know, whatever you're putting in. There's always somebody that's the friend that's like there whenever, wherever, that just drop everything and run.
Right.
And that lack of reciprocation to me is like, kind of hits you in the face a little bit when you realize like, oh, I'm going through some shit and they just, no one's here. Let me preface this. I know that no one's coming to save me.
Mm-hmm.
However, it would be nice if there was support. You ain't gotta save me, but you at least gotta stand on like the shore and be like, yo, you could do it.
Right. And so then you look around and you see who is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the friends.
Yeah.
And they
those are the bond ships.
Right. Exactly. And when you look at that, it's like it might be different from what you imagine.
Mm-hmm.
We have to open our eyes and see who is there. Because then they, guess what? They're like who we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's what will happen. And the people who are different than who we are, it's not to say we can't continue to show ourselves friendly, because that's just who we are. Mm-hmm. We have to remember who we are all the time and know that everybody's not going to be like us.
Right.
But the people who show up the way we desire, we have to, recognize how we define them, like the bond ships or the friendship or whatever we even, and this includes family, because I know that there are family that you deal with more so than family, some family members that you don't.
Yeah.
You might have a second cousin that's closer to you than a first cousin or a sister.
Right. I don't have that many cousins that I know of anyway. So it's like the few that I have, I'm like, yo, you good?
Right, right.
You know, to me, it's like those two words to me mean so much, even though it's not a proper sentence, it's not a whatever, but it says a lot to me to even care enough to ask somebody, you good?
Right.
However you ask them.
That's a whole sentence. What you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and it is, and it comes with different inflections. It means different things also, because you start talking crazy, I'm gonna say, you good?
Because right. Don't start yourself. Nothing, it won't be right.
Right. So, it's. I just feel like being caring enough to say that to someone is a lot more than I think people give weight to. So yes, if you're out there and you're listening, and if you ever get a you good text from me, just know that I care.
That's beautiful. And I say that too, you know, I love that question, because it's really checking in.
It's
the ultimate check. Hey, I'm checking, you good? You know, I like it. But that's the thing too. Like it's recognizing that you're going to have people that you have things in common, and that creates the bond.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, again, it's not to say that you're only dealing with people who are like you, but you hang around, in a sense, you hang around more with people who have things in common with you, as opposed to people who don't. It becomes awkward. Come on. Like this.
Yes.
An awkward ass situation. I don't get down with you like that. Not for real.
We're too old to be dealing with weird shit. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. And as you were talking about your wedding, like that just made a whole bunch of memories come back, as like, who's coming, who's not coming. You could have the wedding in their backyard and they still wouldn't open that sliding glass door. They're just not coming.
Right. I'm good with that. I'm so good with that. And what I'm learning too, when you think about the friendship, because I just think we grow out of friendships, like we can outgrow a friend, or a friend can outgrow us, or we just go down different paths, and that's fine.
Yeah. Do you find yourself like going through that, like having that scenario come up?
Oh girl. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And it's in the matter of a few years. Like I have some friends now, I transition, right? So remember we changed the meaning of it. Mm-hmm. They become family, like sister.
Yeah. You know?
Instead of calling them friends, I call them sisters, because to me, a friend is somebody you interact with on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Right? Like you might not talk to your sister every day, or you might not talk to your brother every day or cousin, whatever. They become, in a sense, like family, but they're there. They're on like a call away or vacation away, or, you know,
right.
I'm going to say my main friend is my boo, my fiance. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah.
That's my friend. He is my friend.
Let me say, if you are married to someone and they are not your best friend, I question a lot of things. Or if they are not like your number one friend, because the title best friend has been put on watch for me after having a very interesting conversation with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if the spouse is not the friend, what are y'all doing?
Right.
Like to me, it seems like, how much trust do you really have in that person? Because I also feel like there's some level of trust that is so deep with the person that is a quote unquote friend,
mm-hmm.
that you don't just have with anybody.
Right.
And if you're not trusting your spouse, like that relationship seems, I don't know, something doesn't seem right.
Gonna go and tell the truth. First, anybody who hears this, I want to find out how you label your spouse, a person that you sleep next to, a person that you know, y'all be passing gas, swapping fluids and shit. Like y'all so into each other's body, you know, in lives, that you don't consider them a best friend. Cause mm-hmm. I've heard that, you know, I've heard it, you know,
yeah,
this person is their best friend, but not this person. And for some, like a male could have a best friend and be a woman.
Right.
And not their wife. Or yeah. The wife could have a best friend as a dude and not their, or vice versa. It doesn't matter. But you have a best friend that takes the place of your person. I do question that marriage and the validity of it. I'm going to just go ahead and say it's a name only.
I mean, yeah.
It's a name only. And they know the truth is, because if you can't tell that person everything and be authentic with them, transparent with them, it really shows who you are in your life. Because this is the thing I was going to say, a person in your space, like a spouse or best friend or whomever, they're just a mirror of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
How you show up in the world is how they mirror you.
Right.
So then if you can't trust them, truth is you can't trust yourself. And there's something going on with you. And that's cool. It's no judgment. It's just to say, check in with that. And some people want to be married in name only, and that's okay. If that's you, that's you.
Okay, because I couldn't do it.
Right. And that's the thing.
Amy. Yeah.
And that's where we go. We understand there are levels to this thing. That's why I was saying early, we have to define for ourselves what friendship means and how this goes. Like, so when you said it'd be difficult for you to be married to somebody who likes eggs or who likes coffee, yeah, it would be difficult, because then guess what? There are going to be some other things that would be in that space too that would repel you guys. Y'all would not be compatible.
Mm-mm. And I think too, even it goes onto a level of like just interaction. Mm-hmm. You don't even want to be around this person. I've been having this conversation since the pandemic started.
Right.
I'm still to this day upset with the people who are forcing everybody to come back into the office because you don't want to be at home with your person. Mm-hmm. You chose that person. Mm-hmm. You chose that couch. You chose that house. Mm-hmm. You chose that spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Why the hell are you making it hard on everybody else who likes those things, mm-hmm. who wants to be around those things, and forcing them back into the office? back to interact with you, and you not the person that anybody want to interact with. It is wild to me.
Yeah. But that was, that would cause people to really stop and ask themselves, because I'm going to tell you, COVID shook some things up.
Mm-hmm.
And what it did is it caused people to level up in owning their shit. Like to say, I don't have to put up with the mandates that have been set before me. Mm-hmm. Before, I was going to work because I felt like, of course, I had to, I need this job. But if you have people who are going back to work and mandating that other people go back because they can't be around their person, well, the person who's mandated to go back to work might like to be around their person.
Right.
And so if that's the case, they're going to have to make a decision.
Like,
do I find us a gig, or I find something that works for me that will allow me to do the things that I like to continue to do? You see? And mm-hmm. so no longer are we doing any more things that we have to do because we feel like we might lose our jobs or we might lose this. No, we do the things that we desire.
Yeah.
I hope that's the case. I hope that shook enough people up to say.
I think it did. And I think it also put a lot of people like, all right, you got a timer on this. I'm not going to take this much longer, but let me put everything in place that I didn't necessarily have in place, because I got to get out of here.
Right.
Like, some people aren't able to just jump.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'm still here for those people making the decision of like, I'm still not going to stay. Mm-hmm. It might take me 3 months. It might take me 6 months. However long it takes me to do whatever the thing is that I got to do, I'm going to do it, because I'm not accepting this, because it is wild.
Right.
That we are still in the pandemic, whether anybody wants to hear it or not, the numbers are going up. And you are like coming back to the office and then not having a mask on, or forcing people to come back to the office for multiple days out of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like one or two, like multiple days out of the week, or putting in place a like, no one can work from home. We all got to be in here. We proved for 2 years that people could do their work at home for the people that were capable of doing it at home.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell else do you want? I've been saying it. Middle management is going to ruin people's lives, because the people who need to be in control, that's a part of it to me. It's like, not just that you don't like your home life, it's your necessity to want to have your thumb on somebody.
Well, yes. So what we found out is that people who are narcissists, or people who are control freaks, or people who have to have it their way, that are uptight, anal, they're still here. Right? Yeah. Like COVID didn't dismiss them. They're still there.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are fearful, they're still there. And so, you know, now I hope people are starting to recognize who they are in relation to these type of situations. And so, again, like, if you have a job to where you're being forced to go back, set up a game plan.
Mm-hmm.
That way you don't create stress within your life, because if life was easier and you found that you were closer to your spouse, closer to your children, you develop better bonds with them. And then this uptight boss of yours is trying to usurp that and change it, make a decision.
Right.
You don't have to be subjected to that any longer.
No, it's just not worth it. Like, I'm not about to be stressed out for any job.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
I know that, like, we live in this capitalist society and we got to have money to pay for things. But like, if there's a will, there's a way to do those things, do them. But having the stress, it's not worth it. And
it's
the people who, this is for the people who are those people who are causing the stress. I always say, if it's not on fire or you're not curing cancer, chill the hell out.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you were, it is on fire, or you are curing cancer, you still need to calm down.
Yeah, or find a way to relax.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to end a relationship, if that's the thing, like, find out what's going on. Because believe me, if you have employees who don't want to be around you, or your children don't want to be around you, or your spouse is cheating on you or not spending time with you, you got to ask yourself, you're the common denominator. what is going on.
Right.
Right. And do some self work. Right. That's the whole point.
Yeah. Because it, like, you're damaging what people have built that they do like. You're right. Taking away from like the time that people do enjoy together. Like my husband and I, yes, we are like really good friends. We love to be around each other. Like we drive each other crazy. We crack each other up. We're always trying to one up each other. You know, it's always something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That time gets lost when, yeah, he's forced to go back into an office where it's just like, for what?
Right. Well, and so for whatever the reason is that people want to stay at home to do the job, create that situation for yourself, mm-hmm. and make it happen.
Yeah.
Right. In a lot of ways, I like to be, you know, with my person, and then I like my me time. I think it's necessary, and everybody has their thing that they need, they desire. I think it's just best now to recognize that.
Yeah.
And so that you don't allow people to take from you what works for you, mm-hmm. right? Like, I hope COVID did that to help people really get that you can create the life you desire.
Yeah.
You don't have to fit into a square when you're round or fit into a circle when you're square. Like, no, fit where, make your situation work for you. Like, that's the biggest thing.
A friend of mine said, go where you are. Go where you are. He didn't say go where you're wanted. He says something like, go where you're appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not where you are just
tolerated.
Yes. Go where you're appreciated, not where you're tolerated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to C Good. Thank you for that one.
And vice versa. Don't do things that you tolerate.
Ooh.
Because you can go to a job that you just tolerate because it causes problems.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Like over time, some people are mean to their children because they could have cussed their boss out or their coworker out, but they didn't because they're trying to keep their job, but they really hate it.
That was me. You know,
right. And so they take it out on their loved ones. And it's like, no, like really think about this thing. I know we kind of veered away from friendship, and I know at some point we'll come back, but I think that's what we do in these podcasts. Anyway, we start talking about,
but everybody will live. We just out here. This is not buttoned up, you know, always together. But I think to put this back to your spouse being your friend and your friend having your best interests at heart, and mm-hmm. your friend also being able to call you on your shit.
Mm-hmm.
My person for years, because I did not like my job. And yes, I wanted to cuss people out. I wanted to put hands on people. I told you the story about the girl putting her hands on me and I didn't get to punch her back because mm-hmm. I wanted to punch other people. I would. I'm very guilty of back then definitely coming home and just dumping all of that on him. Mm-hmm. But my person has always known who they are and has always been confident in themselves. Mm. So he would always say, you know, you're not mad at me, right?
That's so beautiful.
I didn't want to hear it at the time. I didn't have the ears to hear any of that. But
how did you deal with it then? If he said,
it was terrible.
Oh, okay.
Lori,
okay.
I don't know how we together to this day. I'm being very transparent.
Yes.
I don't know how we made it through. Okay. We've been together 20 years, going on 21 years.
What a feat. That's
yes. Test drive. Let me just tell everybody. Figure out if this person is your person. Don't do the ultimatum like on Netflix and wait a year and a half and be like, I gotta marry this person. I just have to. Don't do that.
No.
Figure out if you like this person for real. Figure out if cruises ever come back, go on a cruise with the person. See if you can be trapped on a ship with a person. That will tell you a lot of shit.
Like, go to a cabin.
Go somewhere where there is not an option for you to really leave. And I say a cruise because where are you going to go? The ocean?
That's true.
You got to deal. You got to work out your shit. You got to be in this room with this person because you can't get a new room. It's not like a regular hotel.
Right.
What you going to do? Sleep on the deck? No. you got to deal with this person. So
I love you got to deal with you. And I think that's the thing. Okay,
there's the thing.
You got to deal with you.
So I did not do that for at least the first 15 years. Not for real, I didn't. Mm-hmm. Not for real, I did not. Anybody that was watching it from the outside, it was me. I'm saying it now. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't have the tools that I have now. Right. I was not seeking this particular type of help like I do now. I was not listening to him being like, he would say, if that's how you feel. Ooh, Lord, you want to start a fight back then? I would just be like so mad about stuff. And he'd be like, well, that's how you feel. Because he was not here. He was not here to entertain any of my bullshit.
I love it, man. I love it.
I hated it.
But I'm so glad that you had a person who stood fast in their stance instead of vibing with you in that space, because then y'all would have gone on this emotional roller coaster together.
Exactly.
Constantly fighting back and forth, trying to have your perspective. And he just let you have it, you know, and let you, okay, that's what you want. You know, it didn't sound like he was trying to do that back and forth volley with you. Beautiful.
He knew I was better before I knew I was better.
Hmm. I told you last time we'd get a brother a fist bump. I'm going to give him two. Boom. Boom.
Yeah. I mean, but I said this before, it's something to have someone that matches your energy or fixes your energy.
Right.
When you're not prepared to do it, or when you don't have the ears to listen, or they're saying the thing, but it's not translated into a language that you can understand right then. And they still try again the next day.
Right.
That's your person.
That is your person.
Because anybody else could just be like, oh, hell no, I ain't dealing with that.
Right. And I will say, too, for people who are not married, that could be your, the litmus test for a friend. If you want to ask yourself, what is a friend? You know, find out what you need for yourself. Right. Even if you get mad at that person, even if you feel like they tripping, when you turn around the next day and you realize, no, they really care about me because they didn't allow me to do X, Y, and Z, you know, like whatever that litmus test is for you, you will be able to find out if that is a friend or not. Right. Yeah. Or like, for instance, if you tell them something, you might put it out there. Like you might tell them that, I don't know, that you dig in your nose, and then you find out 2 weeks later, oh, girl, I heard you digging your nose from somebody else.
Somebody completely different. Yeah.
Right. You know, then that's your friend, because you might want somebody who you can tell some things to and they keep it to themselves. Or, you know, you might want somebody to hang out with, you know, and, you know, they go to bed at 7 and you know, that might not be that person. Right. So you just got to find for yourself what works for you, you know, and then, you know, that may be how you would define a friend. Right. So
I wonder also is another way to tell is, have they stuck around in your transition? Have they stuck around in your like growth? Mm-hmm. They were able to tell you like, oh, you need to grow or you need to work on this. But did they stick around to help you through that?
Right.
That's right. I mean, I guess there's a limit to like, people can't deal with like, you are toxic or you are whatever. But I also wonder, is there room for them to understand that you weren't you right now?
Right.
You had to go through all those things, or you were going through something and that was just how you handled it with whatever tools that you had to handle it.
Right. So then that sounds like some level of understanding. Like, are they trying to check in with you to understand where you're coming from, what you're going through, you know?
Yeah.
And then vice versa, because again, friendships are really mirrors, because like if you had friends in college, and they were really cool. You know, y'all were really close at one point, and you find that life took you on a different journey or a different path. They went to, you know, to Manhattan to teach and do this, and then you went somewhere else. And then the conversations where all they were, a lot at some point, and then all of a sudden it just started to dim down. If you decide, oh, wow, they're not a friend to me anymore, it could be, it's not so much that you're not friends, it's just life kind of got in the way. Mm-hmm. You know, there are things that you're doing now, like you might want to check in with yourself. You're busy too. It's a two-way street. You're not calling just as much as they're not calling. Mm-hmm. So to get bothered that they're not reaching out or they're not trying to do something, and, you know, you might want to check in with yourself. Are you doing that same thing? So, you know, so it still might not be that y'all not friends per se. It's just that it's dormant. What would you say about that? I'm thinking it might be dormant.
I could see dormant if there isn't this concerted effort of like, oh, I'm going to make a better effort. Like if you don't announce that you're going to make a better effort, then yeah, it's fine. Life just gets in the way. But mm-hmm. once you go to announcing that like, hey, we should do these things, or I'm going to try to do better at communicating with you or making an effort to get in contact with you, or once a week, you and I are going to do whatever together, and then you don't follow through.
Well, see, that's a whole nother
thing. That's a different. Yeah, that's why I'm saying like, that's a little bit different than like life just gets in the way.
No, I think that's totally different, because if you didn't reciprocate that, if you didn't say, hey, I haven't seen you around, I miss you, and then they say, hey, I'm gonna do better, and then they don't do better, was it something that they said out of just the blue? You didn't precipitate that, like you didn't, okay, nope. They just came out the blue. So then maybe there's some level of guilt there, you know, like it could be, I mean, because who does that and then they don't follow through? Right.
And this is what I'm saying. So is that life getting in? How much do you allow life to get in the way before you're like, oh, let me own up to I dropped the ball on this. Let me at least reach out to the other person and say, you know what? I know I said we should do blah, blah, blah. And I know I didn't follow through with that. Can we try again? Or it's just not good, a good time or whatever. But I guess too, I got to go back to something that Lori said. Nobody owes you anything.
Right. That because
they didn't owe you the initial, like, we should do whatever, I'm going to do better.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Because
be growing. Come on, me.
You see what I'm saying? let them hang themselves, because they said it. If they don't do it, life is going to continue. Yeah. You weren't missing anything before they even said that.
Yeah. Well, so for you, yeah.
Were you missing that person or what?
I will say I was missing that person. I was missing the interaction. I was missing the quote unquote friendship, bondship. I was missing that. Now I'm like, well, where do I fit?
Well, tell me this: was there some telepathy going on? Like, because you were missing that, did you say, "Hey, I miss you," or? They just out of the blue, because you were missing them, all of a sudden you heard from them?
You know what? I don't know. I'm not even going to say I know which way it went. I know that they're often miss you, wish we lived in the same place, miss you, whatever, wish you were here type situations. But I don't know what happened that time.
Okay. Cause I was going to say that's some strong
look
energy.
the mind is real. And my level of learning how to manifest is, I will say, it's very powerful.
Right. Right.
I have manifested some shit this week that I was very shocked. Let's just put it that way.
Well, I can't wait to talk shocked. About this. Right. But I think too, that we have to check in with our need, right? Like there are some things, and I've shared this with some clients this week. We look outside for what's inside. So we have this desire for somebody else to fulfill something that is already within you. And so we want friends or family members to do something for us that we can do for ourselves. And if we start to do it for ourselves, we won't feel like we're missing out.
How far does that go when the thing that you are really searching for is just other human contact.
People, when you open, and that's why I was saying earlier, as we open our eyes, we see that human contact. That human contact could be with an associate. It could be with, you know, your therapist, if you will. It could be with your mom, because it got better. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It could be with, and what it's almost to say, when we least expect it, it shows up. And so the people we're looking for it from, they might not be the people, right?
You gotta notice what you're noticing at this point of like, thank who you. Is doing the thing.
Yes, because it's all right. Every need that we have is fulfilled. Every need that we have is fulfilled if we open our eyes to how it gets fulfilled. Because as soon as we ask, we receive. And that's a that's a whole thing, but it's about recognizing that, right? As you need to breathe, you can breathe. As you need to sit down, you can sit down. If you need to eat, you know, unless there's something catastrophic that's, you know, hindering that, you know, but as long as we have breath in our bodies, the thing that we need, we have. If everybody recognize, it might not be exactly what you want, but the more you practice it, you can get exactly what you want. But that's going to take faith. It's going to take determination. It's going to take some things that sometimes people don't exercise. But ultimately, that friendship or bondship or whatever we speak of, the thing that we desire, we can have that. It just might not be an old Casey or Jim Bob who had been our friend all these other years, you know, and, right. And things are different now.
Damn. So do you feel like it's the same way with family?
Yes. Yes. Because okay. Family shift, it's like an ebb and flow type of thing over time, right? Some things get better and some things get progressively worse. Look at it in families, right? And even everybody who's listening, check your family out. See if you and your sister got better closer over the years or you got further apart. And if you got better, how? How did you get better? How did y'all get closer? Because as you get closer, that's what you talk about, that friendship, because there's this understanding, it's a rhythm, there's a flow. Y'all able to, it's a oneness that happens, right? Mm-hmm. You get closer or you grow apart. And if you're growing apart, what happened? How is it that y'all grew apart? You know, and sometimes we blame, but I hope we check in with ourselves too. How can you be accountable? What did you do? You
yeah, know, yeah. I think a lot of this at the end of the day, this comes down to effort.
Right.
It's all of this is a lot of effort. How much effort are you willing to put in? And if right. you're not willing to put in any effort, I think this, okay, I'm figuring something out in real time. This must be part of my definition of a friendship. Is how much effort is the other person and myself, how much are we willing to put into our interaction?
Thank you. Thank you, my dear. Yes, that's exactly what it is. And when you find that you're putting effort in and you're not getting it back, instead of being bent out of shape and you're like, you know, little fist all balled up, or, you know, just you all crying and shit, like, stop. Notice what you're noticing. I'm giving and I'm not receiving. Okay, give somewhere else so you right. can receive, because obviously they don't feel about you the way you feel about them. And that shit is okay.
Yeah.
It has to be.
That there is the like the summary right there for me is that it is okay. I am okay.
Yes, you are. Yes.
Lizzo put out a new song. I think it came out today or yesterday. It's been on repeat all day for me.
Oh, what's it called?
About Time. About oh. Damn About Damn Time. I'm sorry. About Damn
sing a,
Time.
Sing a few bars.
What'd she say? She says, I'm not the girl I used to be or that I was. Bitch, I'm better.
Oh, I like it.
And I was like, oh, that's it. That's it. That's it. Like, yeah. I have to be okay with whatever is happening, whenever it's happening, because I don't have. What'd you say? you can't control what's going to happen tomorrow. You have to let tomorrow do whatever it's going to do. Yeah, it'll handle itself. Mm-hmm. And I've been feeling that this whole week with like the work that I'm doing, with editing the show, with if we get listeners, if we don't, I'm just kind of like, if the shit happens, the shit happens.
Yeah, because ultimately we got to remember our hope, perspective and purpose in doing this, right? Mm-hmm. We want to share with others how we're growing, how we're learning, things like that. But we're also doing this for ourselves. Yeah. We're doing this because it brings us joy. There's some level of peace that's there. That. And so if people are not chiming in, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, this is gonna keep going until it stops. Yeah. And at that point, okay. But the whole point is, or the whole purpose is to share our knowledge, to share our wisdom, share how we've grown, our ups, our downs, our all arounds, and how we're getting through it, right? Yeah. Because some point, maybe somebody can benefit from it.
Right.
So, yeah. But I was going to say forgot what you were just saying before, but what happens to you happens for you. And I think the first time I think I heard this, I think Oprah said it or something, but I just love how we recycle words. It's so many
for real
quotes.
Oh my
shit.
God. The number of people that I've talked to that listen to the show that are repeating things that you or I have said has brought me like a lot of joy.
Oh my
God. Also, because I just feel like, oh shit, like this is helping.
Yes.
Or it's like I think I told you a couple of weeks ago, like my husband and I have now been like stopping each other and being like, no, 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 rephrase that. Like we are catching each other when we are feeling any type of way that is not moving us forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that, to bring it all back to friends, that's how I know that is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has my best interest at heart, and ditto. Definitely have it for him. And we are able to look at each other and go, oh no, no, no. That's not how we do this anymore. Mm-hmm. We are better.
Right, right. And I'm gonna say, and some people believe in the Bible, some people don't. I get it. But probably the true litmus test is to be able to die. Will you die for the person? If you can die for the person, that's your friend. You know, hey, you know, are you willing to die? Some people are not willing to do that. And I'm going to say this, some people you consider friends that they might not consider you a friend. And some people consider you friends that you might not consider friends.
That's a whole other, like, I think this goes back to like the reciprocation and like the effort.
Mm-hmm.
You thought somebody was your best friend, your the closest person to you, all these things, and the other person's like, yeah, no, I don't label you like that, or I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. Like it took a lot of conversations that I've had lately of understanding those labels and like the obligation that comes with those labels. So it's a, I don't know. It's a different time now for me because I have a lot to think about. I definitely came in as being like, no, there's no friends. But now I'm like, I think it's all in the conversations that you have or the agreements that you have or the effort that you're willing to put in. Like it's,
yes.
I have to you are the master of reframe. I get it.
Girl, I'm just going to do the best I can. You know, that's all I got.
Well, we appreciate you. And well, I say we call it. That was 10 episodes. Holy shit. How you feel? You good?
I feel really good. That I say let's do it. We can talk to the people next week.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
That's it for this week's show. I'm Lori Scott.
And I'm Sylvia Johnson. And you've been listening to What's Been Better.
A big thank you to Lagan Music, Inc. for providing our music. This show is edited and produced by us with a little help from our family and friends. We love you all.
We want to hear what's been better for you. To be a guest on the show, send us an email to questions@whatsbeenbetter.com. or you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at What's Been Better Podcast.
Thanks for listening.